church. I say God is good all the time. And all the time. Amen. And we're good. There you go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles this morning. Go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through verse 38. This morning, I want to continue to talk about the Lord of the increase.
Amen.
And this morning, I'm going to share on He will increase our influence to reach souls. He will increase our influence to reach souls. How many know there's a need out there in the world?
Amen.
Don't get me wrong, there's a need in the church.
Amen.
But there is a bigger need in the world. The need in the church doesn't match the need that's in the world. There's such a big need out there. And this is why the Lord will increase, bring the increase in the church of our influence. All of us carry influence. We all influence a group of people around us, whether it be at home or at school, at our job. We carry an amount of influence. And God wants us to use that influence for His honor and for His glory. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 9, verses 35 through verses 38. We're going to read this text. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You go ahead and take your place. Grab your Bibles and your notepads and also get ready for the Word. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, the Scripture says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields." Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word, anointed to our hearts here this morning. I pray that our hearts will be open to receive your word, embed it within our soul. Lord, I pray that this word would produce a harvest of workers that will labor in love to reach the lost and the hurting that surround us every day. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Everybody says, amen. You may be seated here this morning. Afterwards, we're going to be giving out some Bible certificates, some baptism certificates for those that got baptized last week at our camping trip. Amen. How many had a good time at our camping trip? Amen. We had a great time last week, and we did some baptisms there at the lake, and so we want to hand out some baptism certificates here in a few. Amen. Here in this portion of Scripture, this was an exciting time in the ministry of Jesus. But not only was it an exciting time, but it was also a challenging time. Amen. It was exciting and challenging at the same time for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Exciting because of seeing many coming to Him and putting their trust in Him. He was seeing many people healed and set free from the power of Satan. How many of that's exciting?
Yeah.
It is exciting to see somebody being set free from the power of Satan.
Yeah.
It is exciting when I see somebody come into our homes and they're ready to lay their life down. They're ready to put aside the drugs. Come on, somebody. After being bound for years, after being up for 10 days, 15 days in a row, and all of a sudden they come and they say, "I want to change my life. I want to give my life to Jesus." That's exciting to me.
Yeah.
It's exciting to see somebody get healed by the power of God.
Yeah.
It's exciting to witness to somebody and to minister to somebody and all of a sudden see God come upon their life, and all of a sudden see the Holy Spirit come upon their life and then begin to break. Then begin to break before God. And you see their heart being opened right before your eyes. Not to you, but to God.
Amen, amen.
That's an exciting thing.
Come on.
This is what was happening to Jesus. He was seeing lives change right before his very eyes. He was seeing people healed right before his very eyes. He was seeing people delivered right before his very eyes. He was seeing people set free. And it was an exciting time for the Lord.
Amen.
But it was also a challenging time. Amen. Because the crowds were so great.
My God. Wow.
The need was so great. And he knew that he couldn't do it all alone. He's seen the crowd, like this morning, the crowd that we have. But imagine a crowd of thousands that Jesus would see on a daily basis.
Wow. Come on, come on. My God.
And he understood that by himself, even being Christ, even being God in the flesh, that even he was limited in that state.
Come on. Wow.
So it was a challenging time. It was exciting, but it was challenging. He said that they were like sheep without a shepherd. That's what he said in the scripture that we just read. They are like sheep without a shepherd. But hold up. I thought that Jesus was a great shepherd. Isn't he the great shepherd?
Amen.
Or is he not?
Yes.
Wasn't he present?
Yes.
Then why would he say this statement?
Come on.
Why would he say they are like sheep without a shepherd if he himself was the great shepherd?
Wow. Come on, baby.
And was present there?
Because
he was trying to teach the disciples a lesson.
Yeah. Come on, man.
He wanted to teach the church for generations to come a lesson.
Come on,
yeah, baby. Yeah.
That he is not the only shepherd.
That's right.
Huh? He's not the only shepherd.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he looked to the disciples, and what did he say? He said, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest."
Come on, that's
right.
He said, "You pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth workers into his harvest fields."
That's good.
So think about that.
Yeah.
He didn't even say that his leaders were the shepherds.
Wow.
My God. Come on, man.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
It's right there in the text.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to look at it a little harder.
Come on.
He didn't say, "No, you go shepherd them." He says, no. Because the crowd and the multitude that is before us.
Come on, man. You better preach a bit, man.
Even you 12 can't handle it.
Wow, come on now.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Come on now.
Huh? Even us few can't handle it. So therefore, what we need to do is we need to understand the process of multiplication. And we need to understand the prayer of multiplication.
Yeah, well, come on.
That I'm telling you that you are to pray. You are to use your wartime walkie-talkie.
Come on.
That's what prayer is. Prayer is our wartime walkie-talkie.
Come on, break it down,
Pastor. Let me tell you something. If you didn't know, you're in a war.
Come on. That's right.
There's so many people that don't know that they're in a war.
Come on, Pastor.
They're in a battle for their soul.
Come on.
For their children's souls.
Wow.
For their loved ones' souls.
Wow.
We are in a spiritual war. There are some people that don't even know they're in a warfare. What happens to an individual that doesn't know he's in a battle at war? He's just going to act like he's not at war.
Wow. Come on.
And guess what? They become prime target number one. They become easy pickings for the enemy.
Come on.
So we must understand, we're at war. It is a spiritual war that we're involved in as Christians. This is why the enemy always attacks you. This is why you feel depressed even as a Christian. This is why even the enemy attacks your finances. You're like, why does this happen? Why did good things happen to good people? Bad things happen to good people.
Come on,
why did my finances get hit and I'm a tither? Why do I get hit and I'm faithful to God?
You
Because it's a war.
That's right.
And we need to learn to use our wartime walkie-talkie.
That's right. Yeah.
And Jesus looked to the disciples and he says, you know what? Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Use that wartime walkie-talkie to pray. And guess what? Call in for reinforcements.
Oh, come on.
Make a call to the general. Make a call to the Father in heaven and say, God, look at what's taking place down here on earth. The crowds are coming to you. Oh, but there's not enough of us. We need more workers. We need more laborers. We need more men and women that are going to rise to the occasion and say, here I am, Lord, send me.
Well, Pastor.
It's good. It's good stuff.
So why do we need more workers? And Jesus said to the disciples, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth more workers. What type of worker was he looking for? The scripture tells us right there. Let's look at it again. Look at the scripture. Matthew 9, look at verse 36. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd.
Yes, come on.
Like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, he's saying these sheep need a shepherd.
Come on now.
That's
good, Pastor.
So the type of worker that Jesus told the disciples to pray for was a shepherd worker. Was somebody who would be able to shepherd his people.
Come on.
God will send forth workers that are shepherds. And don't get it twisted. I'm not talking about a shepherd that's going to, you know, take care of like the animal sheep. Come on now. But we understand that the Bible calls Christian sheep. I'm glad you didn't say amen and get excited for that. Because when you study a sheep, they're dumb and stinky. Thank you, Jesus, for calling us sheep. Amen. You know, why did Jesus say, why do we need the Lord to increase the workers and increase our influence?
Come on, Pastor.
Number one, because of the crowd. Because of the multitudes of people that need to hear about the Lord.
Wow.
See, listen, I want you to know that in Grand Prairie alone, there's over 161,000 people.
Wow.
In Grand Prairie alone. In Arlington, Texas, there is 396,394 people. If you combine Arlington and Grand Prairie, that's over 500,000 people in our area of influence.
Come on.
500,000. That is our area of influence.
Come on.
When God sent me and my wife in 2010 to open up the church, he sent us to Arlington, Texas on Park Road.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember Park Road.
Come on now.
We were there for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Or 4 years. We went to the M&B Hall.
Come on,
we were there for a year. We're going to go back on June 22nd for the drama shotgun. Be there. Invite somebody. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, we have drama flyers. If you want to get some on the way out.
Amen.
Then all of a sudden, God moved us to Grand Prairie.
Come on. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
To Main Street.
Yeah.
You know what God was showing us? He was showing us our area of influence.
Come on.
He was showing us that he called us to be a church to reach the mid-cities of the DFW area. He called us, so our vision is clear. Listen, God put Pastor Jesse in Dallas on the east side. He put Pastor Kevin in Dallas on the north side. He put Pastor Michael Stell and Wanda, from which Pastor Josh right now is preaching at their church right now, and Sister Astonette, he put them there in the north side of Fort Worth. He put Pastor Mark right there on the south side of Fort Worth. He put Pastor Manny in Plano. He put Alcanza Victoria in Pleasant Grove, and that's their area of influence. But God raised up this church in the middle of DFW. He put us in the middle. base where he would raise up an army of workers that would see the need, that would see the crowd, that would see the hurting, and say, here I am, Lord, use me. The reason why God will increase the workers is because of the crowd. There is hurting people all around us. But Christians turn a blind eye. This should not be, church. People are waiting for us to talk to them, to minister to them, to pray for them, to love them. But the church is scared. The church wants to be comfortable and timid. One of the greatest things that I hear sometimes from Christians is that I'm afraid, I'm timid, I'm shy, I'm scared to speak, I'm afraid to talk to somebody. Oh, but while you're sitting there being scared and timid and all complex, there's people who are dying and going to hell in a handbasket. There's people that are hurting. Oh, we need to break out of our shell. We need to tap into the power of God. We need to tap into prayer. And when we tap into prayer, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will come upon us. And Jesus said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, and into the uttermost parts of the world. What is Jesus saying? He says, I'm going to expand your area of influence, but I first need to start in Jerusalem. This is our Jerusalem. Grand Prairie and Arlington is our Jerusalem. Oh, but don't get it twisted, because eventually he's going to expand our area of influence. Why? Because we're just not a local ministry, but we're a global ministry. We are Victory Outreach International, and God wants us to make an impact all over the world. Secondly, the reason why God will raise up workers, bring increase our influence, because of the compassion of Christ in us. It says in verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. See, God's compassion should be in us. How do we know when God's compassion is in us? When we go to them. We know God's compassion is in us when we go to them. I said, when we go to them, who? The hurting. The hurting. This is how you know you have the compassion of God. This is why, listen, we teach our church to hit the streets and to evangelize and to go to where the need is at, my friend. Why? Because, listen, we're teaching our church to be a compassionate church, to be a compassionate people. And listen, it's not easy, because we weren't always compassionate. I was the meanest guy on the block. Come on. You were the meanest guy on the block. You were the meanest sister on the block. Oh, it was not easy for us to have compassion in our hearts. But when God saves us, when we get into prayer, when we get into the Word, when we get into God's presence, God breaks us and He changes us. And He changes us from being hardcore all to being crybabies. Hello, somebody. All of a sudden, we start to cry over everything. We say amen and you start to cry. We say Jesus loves you and we start to pray. Why? Because we've been sensitized to the Holy Spirit. We've been sensitized to the gospel, to the Word of God. And all of a sudden, that compassion fills our heart to want to reach a hurting world.
Amen. It's
good, Pastor. Thirdly, we pray for more workers because people are harassed. People are harassed. That's what Jesus said here. He says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed. They were harassed. You know, a lot of times I read that scripture and I just glance over it, like, I really don't pay attention to it sometimes. But this time, God focused that word, harassed.
Come on, Pastor.
What do you mean? I mean, picture Jesus seeing the crowd.
Right.
And then he started to say these words. He started to have compassion on them, because when he looked, he seen they were harassed. Have you ever been harassed? Have you ever been harassed? I get harassed daily.
Come on. Huh? Break it down, Pastor.
I get harassed daily by that one number. You know it. That's it. They harass you too? They harass you too? We need to call the police on them. Yeah. My mind went blank, but are they getting you too? I mean, they call me more than the disciples. Amen. So I'm talking about the answers. Somebody thinks about me. Amen. Huh? Have you ever been harassed? I better be careful. He's gonna be God. He's my leader, so I can. Have you ever been harassed? That's some hard moco. Huh? Who else can I do that to? Have you ever been harassed? Huh? What did you call that, harassment?
Yes.
Huh? Do you actually think that's what Jesus saw?
No.
When he looked into the crowd, is that what he seen?
No.
Did he see, you know, people in the crowd?
Huh? That's good, Pastor.
So what was he? What was Jesus talking about? As he looked in the crowd, he's seeing people being harassed.
Yeah, come on.
What did he mean by this? See, Jesus saw their emotional and spiritual state.
Wow. Come on. Wow.
He saw their emotional and spiritual state.
Come on.
And not only was it happening to the believers, to the church, but even to the unbelievers. There are so many people in church that are harassed.
Come on now.
The enemy harasses them.
Yeah.
With doubts. With fear. With hopelessness. With disparity. With depression. With lack of. He's always lying to you. He's always harassing you. You'll never amount to nothing. You'll never make it in this world. You'll never be a good mom. You'll never be a good dad. You'll never have enough. You'll never be like so and so. You'll never. The enemy harasses us spiritually, emotionally. Listen, and if he does it to the church, how much more does he do it to the unchurched? How much more does he do it to the unbeliever? Listen, the church has power because we know about prayer, but the world don't know about prayer, so they don't have power, and so the devil has a field day. With the people of the world.
Wow.
And they're constantly being harassed because they're defenseless.
Wow.
This is why God must increase the workers.
Come on,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Joe, come here real quick. This is why God has to increase the workers. To be shepherds. God needs to increase the work. I seen a picture the other day, yesterday. Put it up there.
Wow.
It says, this sheep was found after wandering off for 6 years.
Wow.
6 years. I see something like that this morning. He carried extra weight from not having a shepherd to care for him.
Wow.
Come on now.
Listen, it only took 20 minutes for the shepherd to shave off the extra weight he picked up in 6 years of not having a shepherd.
Wow.
It is time to drop the weight, guilt, and shame. Don't bear your burdens alone. Get back to church.
Come on now.
Baby.
That's good, right?
See, the worker, the reason why God needs to raise up workers that are shepherds is because the shepherds carry a big stick.
Yeah.
Huh?
Come on, Pastor.
The shepherds carry a big stick. And those workers that are shepherds, they can stop the harassment with a big stick. Jose, harass Urban again. Come on, or you're going to get harassed, buddy. Come on, harass. Don't be scared of him. Get away. Get away. Austin. Thank you for my illustration. I know it's funny, but listen, church. When we as a church, as Christians, learn to be those workers, those shepherds, when we see people that are being harassed by the devil emotionally, spiritually, God has called us to come alongside of them and say, don't believe the lies of the devil. Don't believe it. This is what the word of God says. See, your shepherd's rod is the Bible. Your shepherd's rod is what you have in your lap. And we got to learn to be skilled with that shepherd's rod so that when we see the ones that the enemy is harassing, so that when we see the ones that the enemy is harassing constantly, we can rebuke that devil. And we can say, don't believe in the lies of the enemy, but stand on the word of God like I stand on the word of God. I'm not the only shepherd in this house. God is raising up more shepherds. God is raising up more workers that are going to see the harassed in the church, the harassed in the world, and come to the rescue and learn to shear those sheep. Thank you. He's seen the devil harass them in their thoughts and in their minds. He's seen the enemy harass them with doubt, despair, and feelings of hopelessness. See, the enemy is literally picking on people, messing with their emotions, and he does not ever let up. And this is what Jesus saw. Many of us were harassed by our past, by our past mistakes, and even harassed by our addiction and our strongholds. But workers, shepherds, carry a shepherd's rod, a big stick, to ward off the harassing devil. Fourthly, the reason why he'll bring the increase in workers is because because there's a lot of people that are helpless. He says not only were they harassed, but they were helpless. In verse 36 again, he says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They're helpless because they're powerless. They're powerless because they are prayerless. The unbelievers and stray sheep are helpless because unlike us that are praying and feeding our faith, they are not. And so they are rendered helpless with no power to overcome sin, Satan, and the world. But a good worker that is prayed up, worded up in the Bible, can share some of that power with the powerless. It is time for God to bring the increase of workers where we can share our power with the powerless, because there's so many that are harassed and helpless. The crowd is so big. Oh, but Jesus gave us the answer to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth workers. If you don't go to the streets, then I encourage you to pray. We should all go to the streets. But even if you don't, then pray. Pray that God will raise up more street warriors. Pray that God will raise up more Bible study leaders. Pray that God will raise up more pastors. Pray that God will raise up more ministers. Why? Because we want to grow the church? No! Because there's a bunch of harassed and helpless people that the devil is having his way with. And as Christians, we can't just sit back and just let it happen. No, God has called us to rise up an army and to come to the rescue. It's us that God's called us to meet the need. harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, verse 37 says. That's what Jesus said in verse 37. He says, the harvest is plentiful, man. Listen, there's enough sinners to go around for everybody. I don't need to fight churches for people, for souls. There's enough sinners to go around for everybody. Matter of fact, none of the buildings could, we couldn't accommodate it.
Right. That's good.
The need is great, but the workers are few. That's what Jesus said. But then he gave us an answer. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth workers into his harvest fields. Pray, church. Leaders, pray for more workers. Be that shepherd, but also pray for more shepherds. Be that worker, but also pray for more workers.
Amen. It's good, Pastor.
The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The piano player can come up. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But what if the worker is you? What if you're the answer to not only my prayer, but Jesus' prayer and the disciples' prayer? Don't just pray for workers for his harvest fields, but be the worker. Be that shepherd. What does it take to be a shepherd? Be nice. Be nice. Be nice to people. That's not easy for Victory Outreach folk. Because they used to call us Mad Dog. And I'm talking about the sisters. Some of you sisters were harder than the guys, man. It's not easy to be nice. But his anointing is so powerful.
Amen.
That it takes the roughest of the roughest and smooths out those rough edges. We gotta be nice. Huh? We gotta learn to be nice. Because listen, sheep want nice shepherds. Sheep are very sensitive creatures. They're very sensitive creatures. They're almost like dogs, you know? Dogs are very sensitive. I got two of them. They're sensitive. But you know what? The good thing is they're very forgetful and forgiving. And it's as simple to even as Christians that we're also supposed to be forgetful and forgiving. Some people say, I can forgive, but I can't forget. You can if you try. You can if you make an effort to. The problem is that the Bible says that Jesus, he cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. And then he puts a no fishing sign. But as people, we don't listen to signs. So we go fishing again. And we bring up all that junk that Jesus had already forgave us for. We bring up all that junk that Jesus already forgave them for. Oh no, but we must remind them. We gotta learn to be nice. We gotta a shepherd is not only to be nice, but to be loving. These are simple things that you don't have to go to seminary to learn. You don't need to go to seminary to learn to be nice. You don't need to go to college. You don't need to go to Vetti to be nice. Listen, go to Vetti all you want. Go to Bible college all you want. Have a head full of knowledge, but you don't know how to be nice and be loving. The next one, be caring. The next one, be concerned. Check this one out. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You should write these down. Be nice, be loving, be caring. Be concerned. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. These are ingredients for a good shepherd. And lastly, but not least, be holy. For he is holy. Listen, when the workers increase, when the workers increases, the hurting decreases. When the workers increases, the harassed decrease, the helpless decrease. No longer are we the hunted. We have become the hunter. No longer is the devil hunting, yes, us, but we have turned around and we turned the tables on the devil. And now we're going in to that house that's on fire. We're going into that marriage that's on fire. We're going into that family that's on fire and in turmoil. And we're going in with our Bibles blazing. We're going in with the water of the Holy Spirit. And we're ready. We're ready to put out some fires with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God. Why? Because of the compassion and the burden that's inside of us. It was a hurting world, church. And God has called us. I know. Listen, I know God has blessed us. He's blessed you with a good job. He's blessed you with a nice home. He's blessed you with a nice car. But don't get comfortable. Don't ever forget that outside your door, outside your walls, there's still drug addiction. Don't ever forget. Just because your family's saved, there's still somebody else's cousin out there, somebody else's son out there, somebody else's daughter out there. Oh, that they need Jesus, that they need the men's home, they need the women's home, they need to be in the presence of God. And how dare us turn a blind eye? Who other? Listen to this. Let me ask you a question. Who other? Who other than your own family and children are you ministering to? That's a question. Who other than your own family and children are you ministering to? We gotta ask ourselves that, because I know we minister to our family. We minister to our children, man. I was discipling my kids yesterday.
Come on now.
We were hitting the streets at Walmart. I took my family, we were hitting the streets.
Yes.
We were able to bring Sister Vincy to church this morning. We walked outside of Walmart, and my son loves football. Frankie loves football. He looked to the Cowboys Stadium. He said, Daddy, you see, he told his brother, he looked to his brother, he said, Brother, one day I'm going to play at that stadium.
Yeah.
My wife said, that's right, son. I have big faith. And I said, amen, praise God. But I thought about it, and I really, really thought about it for a second. And I said, I believe you can, son.
That's right.
But then I started to disciple him, and I said, but son, know this. If you're going to play in that stadium, you're going to have to be very strong spiritually. I said, you can do it, son. But just remember, you're going to have to be strong spiritually, because you're going to have to stay away from the four F's. Don't get caught up in the four F's. Fame, fortune, females, and football. Don't let it become your idol.
Yeah.
I said, you can do it, son.
It's good.
But you're going to have to be strong spiritually. Because that means you're going to have to go through a university. He said, but Dad, isn't there Christian universities? I said, yes, there is, son. But just because they bear the name Christian, don't mean they act like Christians. Can I be real? I've been to TCU, man. I know what takes place there. I've read the news. I've seen the clip. I know. I don't mean to, but I got to be honest with my kids. I said, you could do it, but you're going to have to be strong. So that when you go through that, you don't fall into that. You know, Father, there's others that have done it. You could do it. And you're going to have to do the same thing. But you're going to have to know who you are. And you're going to have to know the word. And you're going to have to know how to walk out your faith. Not just have it by name. Not just say that you're a Christian. But live it by exampleship. And I have a great time ministering to my kids. But who else am I ministering to? Other than just my family. Because there's a lot of hurting people out there. They need Jesus. The harvest is plentiful. And and the workers are you. The harvest is plentiful, and the workers are you. You, and you, and you, and you, and you. We're those workers. I'm not saying you have to be a pastor like me. I'm not saying you have to preach every Sunday like me. But God has given you a harvest field at your job. God has given you a harvest field in your community. God has given you a harvest field in your school, in your university, in your college, in your high school. Don't neglect the harvest field of your family. I'm not saying that. But remember, there's a greater world out there also. Sometimes our family, we can preach only so much to our family, and they're going to shut us off eventually. It's at that time that you are to turn and now go to the world. Go to the communities. This is why Jesus went from town to town and village to village. He even went to his own town, Nazareth, and they didn't receive him. He said, a prophet is not honored in his own town. Then he said, I must go to the other cities and towns and preach the gospel to them. He's the Lord of the increase. And as your pastor, I pray for that increase of workers. And I ask you this morning to help me pray for more workers. But I finish with this. If you're going to pray for more workers, I know this. That God won't give you a prayer that you can do yourself. He's not going to answer something that you can do yourself. You understand? If you got a car, why pray for another car? You already got a car. You just need to put gas in the car you got. Do the oil change in the car you got. So listen, if you're going to pray for more workers, first off, make sure that you're a worker. See, because then when you're a worker and you see the workload, you have every right to ask for more workers.
Amen.
Because you're doing something about the workload. You're doing your best. You see the need. You're trying to witness. You're trying to preach. You're trying to put people from church. You're trying to bring people to church. You're trying to pray for people. You're trying to minister to people. You're visiting people. You're sharing what you know. You may not know as much as pastor. You may not know as much as the leaders, but you know something. You know John 3:16. You know Philippians 1:16. You know 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know some of the word. And you share what you know, my friend. And that, my friend, will make an impact in people's lives. But even though you constantly help and constantly give and constantly work and constantly pour, you're still going to see a great need. And it's then where you say, God, I'm doing everything I can. But now I'm praying. I'm using this four-time walkie-talkie. Send more workers, God. Send more workers, God. Send more workers into the harvest field, Jesus. We need it in the We need workers in the church, but we need workers outside the church. We need more churches to be planted. There's such a need. Think about where your family's at. Where's your family at? Is it they are in Grand Prairie or are they in the surrounding cities? Are they in Wichita Falls? Are they in Denton? Are they in DeSoto? Where are they? Are they in Oak Cliff? That you should be praying, God, send workers there, God. I know there's churches there, but maybe they need a victory outreach. Maybe they need a mental. Maybe they need a women's. Maybe they need, God, whatever, send somebody, God, that will minister to their lives. When you pray that prayer, be open and ready, because it might just be you. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands to the Lord. I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to examine yourself and between you and God. Say, Lord, I heard the message this morning. Now here I am. I'm open before you. If the worker is me, God, show me. Use me. To some this morning, God showed you through this message. He showed you through this message that there's a people that need to know Jesus. And perhaps maybe you can influence to come to know Christ. to come to the cross of Calvary. I want you to think long and hard about that. Think about the people at your job. Think about your neighbors. Think about the people at your school. Think about your family. Think about the city of Grand Prairie in Arlington, Texas. Think about the news that you see and that you read every day about the murders that take place in our city and our metroplex. Maybe it's you that God has called. Think about the things that you've gone through in the past. Some of you were addicted to methamphetamine, to coke, to heroin, to alcohol. Think about how you were lost and hurting. How you were confused. How your life was headed to destruction. But God intervened. He sent a worker. He sent a worker to intervene, to influence your life. And they had so much influence upon them that you never used to come to church, but somehow the influence that they carried by the anointing of God, that day you listened and you came to church and you heard the message of the gospel of Jesus and your life has forever been changed. Think about that worker that God sent to you. Think about their humility. Think about who they were. Begin to ask yourself, can I do the same? What was so special about them? If he used them, he'll use you. This morning, if you're here, God spoke to your heart. Maybe God is dealing with you about being that worker. Maybe you're that one that God has called. You're that one that God has sent to be that worker. I want you to come to this altar. I want you to cry out to God and say, God, use my life. Use my prayers. Use my words to mend broken people, to reach the harassed and the hurting. Here I am, ready and willing, oh God. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're the harassed. Maybe the enemy's been harassing you. Maybe you feel helpless this morning because you've been running from God. Maybe you're not saved. You haven't given your life to Jesus. And the enemy's been having a field day with you. Maybe you went back to the world. Maybe you wandered away from the faith. And the enemy's harassing you this morning. The good, great shepherd is here. Jesus is here to bring you back. Jesus is here to save you. Jesus is here to bring relief to your life. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you want to give your life to Jesus, you're tired of being harassed and feeling helpless. You feel an emptiness and a void inside. I want to let you know that only Christ Jesus can fill that void. You want to come to Christ. He'll forgive you of all your sins. He died for your sins. He died for your sins so that your sins could be forgiven and washed away by His blood. Oh, don't turn away from the blood of Jesus. But He's calling you. If that's you and you say, I want to give my life to Jesus this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Anybody here this morning, you want to surrender your heart to God? Just raise your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Just raise your hand high. If you're in your seat and you raise your hand to give your life to Christ, I want you to come to the altar. I want you to come to the altar. I want you to come to the altar. You come. I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. And I'm going to pray for all of us here in a sec. It's so important that we do this work. It's so important that we always ask people to throw the plea for salvation. Because you never know who's in the pews. If you want to give your life to Jesus, say this prayer with me. Let's all say it together. Say, Jesus,
Jesus,
come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
My Savior.
Be my Savior.
I surrender my heart to you.
I surrender my heart to you.
I know that you died on the cross
for
my sins.
And on the third day,
you resurrected.
Resurrect me.
Give me a new life.
And use me,
God. I want to be your vessel
that you can use
for your honor
and for your glory.
I give you and I surrender my heart. In the name of Jesus. Come on, just lift your hands. Begin to worship. Begin to worship. Begin to pray. Cry out to God. Yes. God is going to use you, church. God is going to use you. He's going to use you. Let Him use you. Don't forget His message. Every day, wake up with the mentality. Who's that God is going to use me with? Who's God going to use me with? Who can I minister to? Who can I talk to? Who can I pray to? Who can I lay hands on? Who can I bring to church? Who can I invite to God's presence? Oh, bring me to Jesus. In the name of
anything, Lord, you can do.
Not just in the church, but in our city, God, in our communities, God, in the metroplex, God. We see the need, God. We will not ignore the need, Jesus. God, I pray, God, that as a church, that we would be effective in creating avenues where we people could serve. I pray that through this message, people will be encouraged to serve in the different ministries, God. And the code red that we're having this week on Thursday and Friday and reaching out to the ladies that are walking the street, God. Oh, there's such a need there, God. I pray that you would send forth workers on Thursday and Friday, God. That many of the women of the church would join my wife, God, to go to Dallas and to minister to all the women, to bring in the women from Harry Hines and from the trailer stops, God. And they would come there to be pampered and to be shown the love of Jesus. You would raise up more workers in the children's ministry, God. Our children need Jesus. We've seen it this morning in the baby dedication. But through that prayer is a prayer for more workers in the children's ministry, God. So that our children will never have to experience what we experience. So the devil doesn't have to drag them through the mud like he drug us through the mud. Workers in the gang ministry and the youth ministry. So that when our kids graduate from the kids' gang, they can go into the gang ministry and we can have workers there that are ready to receive them, that are ready to disciple them, that are ready to hold their hand and disciple them through junior high and high school when the time of temptation is so much. Oh, but we need more workers, God. Raise them up, Jesus, for your honor and your glory. We thank you because we know you're faithful to hear our prayer. And we know you're faithful to do so. So we pray this in your mighty name. And we believe with all our hearts that you would do what you said you would do. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, give us those praise. way back to your seats, amen. I'm going to ask them to bring me the certificates for the baptisms, and we're just going to present them, and then we're going to dismiss, amen. But I don't know if they can bring them. We have a few people that were baptized, and we want to just celebrate with them, amen. We hope they're all here, amen. We'll see if they're all here, but bring them quickly up here. And if I call your name, I want you to come help me out. I call your name, amen. Come, Irvin, come help me. John, you can sing, amen. We need you constantly to go with, amen. Praise the Lord. In the worship team to sing, amen. All right. The first one. Come on, somebody. You got to bring it from the children's ministry. Amen. We'll wait till he gets here. Amen. All right. Mr. David Crabtree. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. He got baptized. Amen. He's the reason we did baptisms. He was bugging me. Amen. Like, come on, Pastor. I want to get baptized. We'll get baptized. Amen. Congratulations, David. Amen. Welcome. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got baptized yesterday. Amen. Also, Chris Gallegos. Amen. Brother Chris Gallegos. Amen. From our recovery home. Brother Chris. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now we got Brother Keith. Amen. Brother Keith Johnson. Got baptized also. Praise the Lord, Brother Keith. Amen. Hallelujah. Stephanie. Sister Stephanie Davalos. Was she here? She went over by one of the young girls. No. Oh, Stevens. Pray for me, y'all. Pray for me. Stephen, amen. Congratulations, Stephen, amen. Praise the Lord. Brother David Lujan. Amen, David. Congratulations, brother. All right, got baptized. Maya Denise Brown. All right, gang girl for Jesus. U.S. gang girl. Amen. Sister Maya, congratulations. Give it a hug. All right. Our women's home in the house, Sister Beverly Martinez. Sister Beverly, she's going on 9 months in the women's home. Got baptized. Amen. Congratulations, Sister Beverly. God bless you. Amen. Last but not least, Francisco Segoviano Jr. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, why don't you stand right there, take a picture. Amen. Praise the Lord of everybody. Come on, give them one big hand. Amen, church. Yeah.